Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This reading from Amos is a tough one in many ways. It's a tough one because it comes at a really difficult time within the history of God's people. Amos, in that seventh chapter, is not the kind of prophet that any of those who hear his words want to hear. In fact, as he says in the text, he was no prophet at all. He was, I suppose, the closest historical thing we could say is that he was a migrant farm worker. It says I am a dresser of sycamore trees. So I kind of wondered, do sycamore trees get naked and need to be dressed? I wasn't sure because, you know, European sycamore trees, it turns out, are quite different. These are Mediterranean sycamore trees. It's a native tree that bears a fruit. But the fruit is inside of a husk, and the husk has to be bored in order for the fruit to ripen. It's a kind of poor man's plum tree, kind of, or fig tree, poor man's fig tree. And so that's what this guy did. He went around and, you know, it's a great job. Pierced fig tree husks. Not really a prophet, and yet God comes to him and says, Amos, what do you see? And Amos says, a plumb line. And in that very small little phrase, I think everything begins to unfold. God says, yes, it's a plumb line. You see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of the people of Israel, and I will never again pass them by. I had to look that up. Because usually we sort of think I will never again pass them by means I'm going to hang out with them and I'll make sure that they do well. But in this context, it actually means I will no longer ignore their stuff. I will not let them get by with this anymore. I'm going to hold the plumb line up. And then this long, almost horrible idea. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel will be laid to waste. All of these things will happen. All of the wonderful wealth and political power of Israel will no longer be around. The power of Jeroboam will be vanquished. And I will rise against that house with a sword. Suddenly, everything that seemed to be going well in Israel begins to fall apart. The very God whom they depended on who they loved, and who they expected to be there to do their battles and to hold them in place, suddenly seems to have turned against them, held a plumb line up to their crooked ways, and held them accountable. Jeroboam will die by the sword into exile from his land. Well, the priest at Bethel says to Jeroboam, do you know about this guy Amos? He has just said you're going to die. And they are not happy about any of it. And they say to Brother Amos, go away. And I love this line. Please go somewhere else and prophesy. Make your bread elsewhere, saying these horrible words. Just get away from me. And then in a kind of strange and wonderful way, they say, this is the king's house. What's the name of the place where he's prophesying? Bethel, which means it's God's house. You are in the king's house. You can't say these things about the king, but of course they're in Bethel. It's God's house. God's word. God's plumb line. Well, if you know anything about your history, you know that in fact all of this comes to pass. That the time of kings, just as God had told the people of Israel, did not work out that well. And that the problem was that their plumb line kind of got crooked. They picked their own plumb line. And it was no longer God and justice and love, but the pursuit of power and building temples and becoming a powerful people that became their plumb line. What a strange thing for the people of Israel to abandon the very God who had led them out of slavery through the wilderness into the promised land. Or maybe not strange at all. I wonder what our plumb line is today. I wonder in some ways if we ever pay any attention to it. There's this thing that you do in congregational organizational redevelopment. You also do it in business. You identify your core values. What are your core values? And you write them on sticky notes. And then Mary Fastenau has you move them around in a room somewhere. Right? All the purple ones over here, the yellow ones over here. And somewhere in the end of this long process, you find out what's important to you. It's interesting. I've been through a bunch of these. And I'm always fascinated that in the process of identifying our core values, God almost never shows up. Word almost never shows up on a sticky note. This is in church. What does that say about our plumb line? It's fascinating as we think about what our joys in God are and our way that we are called together in Christ, that we never really think about what our plumb line is. How do we know that we are staying true to what God is calling us? It's hard. And one of the reasons it's hard is the plumb line has sort of disappeared or become erased. I was in a conversation with a friend of mine last week. We were talking about relationships. And I thought, oh, this is so true in the church. She said it used to be, she's quite young, she's in her 30s. She says it used to be that you would meet someone and you would get to know them a little bit and you would develop a trust relationship and they would become your friend. And you would have this kind of relationship together. And then one day you would get into politics. Right? And they would say something like, well, isn't Donald Trump amazing? And you would say, well, maybe not. Or, wow, I love the new pope. Nope, I really liked Ratzinger. Or, isn't Elizabeth Eaton, our new presiding bishop, fabulous? And the other person might say, no, I'm a Mark Hansen kind of guy. You would give your opinion, but you didn't abandon the relationship because you had different opinions. The relationship was built on trust and mutual respect. She talked about relationships that she's developed recently, and she said, it's interesting. There's no time for that. There's no time to develop trust. What we start with is your opinion. How do you feel about papayas? Oh my gosh, I can't have a friendship with you. You like papayas. It's amazing, and we see it over and over and over again where we decide whether or not we can be in a relationship with someone just based on whether or not they agree with us. What a horrible plumb line. Part of what's happened is that the plumb line is no longer external to ourselves. the plumb line is only me. I measure Josie by my opinion and by what I think. And we know whether or not John is worth hanging out with by whether or not John agrees with me politically, which he does not. I don't think, but maybe. In speaking with a friend of mine, we both were lamenting the fact that we are both left of left of left, and therefore, for a lot of people, they could never be our friends because our opinions apparently are just too radical. I submit that maybe part of the problem is that we've forgotten that the plumb line is not us, any more than the plumb line was within the people of Israel. The thing about a plumb line is it always has to be outside of what it's measuring so that you can see the line. And when we have something outside of ourselves, something beyond our own ego and our own spirituality and our own opinion, then we can begin to come together in relationship with others. That plumb line might be the law, it might be the gospel, but I think the greatest plumb line of all, of course, is God's love. In the reading to the Ephesians, all of that stuff about being made to us, being made known to us in divine will and wisdom and insight and inheritance is all about understanding that the plumb line is the gift of God in love. It certainly is given to us as a gift, but we don't produce it. We are not the ones who make it, not the ones who set it. That God's love begins external to us in creation and is lived out in Jesus Christ and the cross. It's a different kind of plumb line. The problem with drinking the Kool-Aid of strictly personal spirituality is that the plumb line is always you, and God always looks like you. One of the things I love about being part, I'll be old-fashioned and boring, one of the things I love about being part of a religious movement, about being Lutheran, is it helps me remind me when I'm wrong. I was reminded that this weekend when my friend Keith came to visit. And he's one of my old friends from 25 years ago. He's an assistant to the bishop in Kansas. And I actually was so fun to actually have a conversation with someone who could say, no, you're wrong. And neither one of us had our feelings hurt. I was right, but I mean... But it's because the plumb line isn't me and it's not Keith, it's God. It's love. It's because the relationship isn't dependent on whether or not you like me or I agree with you or you disagree with me. It's not built on that. It's built on mutual trust and affection. I trust. It's one of the things I love about being part of all of you. We are definitely going to make some mistakes. Last week's worship... Today, Bob, where's the gospel? Really? I buried it. No, that was John the Baptist. But we can still worship together and find God in the midst of it because we're not seeking perfection. We're living out that relationship, that plumb line set by God. So it's a shame these days that so much of our life and our religion and the way that we deal with our spirituality is just so surfacey and based not on the plumb line that is deeper and outside of ourselves, but our own opinion and preferences. If we live that way, we can never make change. And nor, I think, we saw a really powerful example of a plumb line at work this last week. Regardless of how you feel about the Confederate battle flag, something amazing happened. People of vastly different opinions came together to do something that 10 years ago we would have thought impossible. A governor, a senator, and a representative from the House all somehow, I don't know how, came together to decide to remove that symbol. No opinions. They all have opinions. But it wasn't based on whether they liked each other, whether they agreed with each other, but rather that plumb line needed to come down. When God speaks to Amos that day, God reminds Jeroboam and Amaziah and us that the plumb line of God is not us, that God is not ignoring, that God is calling us into this new kingdom, measured and held by grace, built with love. That although we are certainly loved and cared for by God, we are not the center of everything. And though our opinion counts, it's not the only one. And in that way, God builds a new kingdom, a deeper kingdom, a more powerful place, built in the weakness of the cross and sustained with the God of love. Amen.